people look at the Holy Spirit and they believe the Holy Spirit is a force, an energy, and he can manifest himself in all those ways. But the Holy Spirit is not a thing. The Holy Spirit is a person.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. This is your host, Joshua Holly, here in the studio with Pastor Mark Job, author and senior pastor of New Life Community Church. God bless you, Pastor Mark.
God bless you too, Joshua.
It's exciting to be able to reach out and minister to people all over the city. And today you're in a message called Spiritual Empowerment, and you're talking to us about how God has given us power for our mission. As people are listening today, what are some things you're hoping they're going to take away?
Well, we're looking at Acts chapter 2. This is the birth of the church, this organism, these people that are gathered together and receive a power, a supernatural power beyond themselves called the Holy Spirit. And so there's a lot of controversy, Joshua, over the Holy Spirit. But what we need to understand, regardless of what the church fights about concerning the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit comes and goes and baptism of the Holy Spirit, tongues, and all those issues that have been so controversial, let me say this, that without the Holy Spirit, we have no power. The Holy Spirit was given to the church on the day of Pentecost, and these people were radically revolutionized by this power that now lived within them and led them. And so the church today, without the power of the Holy Spirit, is lacking in strength. But the power of the Holy Spirit gives us the energy to be able to transform our world.
So as you take us into chapter 2 of the book of Acts, verses 1 through 40, we're going to be looking at today, what does that look like? How did it happen then, and how does that apply to us now today? Thank you, Pastor Mark. Friends, I want to remind you, you can download this message. You can listen for free at PastorMarkJobe.com. Download the Straight Talk app. It's the easiest way to share messages with friends. You can read the Bible there. There's other resources to help your spiritual walk. And we're just excited about what God's going to do today.
I'm going to be teaching today about a topic in which there's a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of confusion, a lot of neglect. But if you understand the secret of this teaching that I'm about to give you, it can literally transform and turn your life around. I want to talk to you about the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. Now, my wife would accuse me of being a person that likes to drive my car until the needle hits the red on empty in my gas tank. And I always say, no, I still have gas. Because, I mean, don't you know that even when it hits the red, you still have a few more miles? I mean, you know, it's got to go below the red for it. So she's always in the passenger side worrying, saying, we're going to run out. No, don't worry. We still have gas. I'll make it. So for years, she's been accusing me of letting the gas tank go to almost empty and worrying, and how come there's not enough gas? And I always told her, have I ever run out of gas? Have I ever run out of gas? And the answer was no. Well, a couple of years ago, sure enough, I'm so glad she was not in the car. It had hit red, and then it went below red, and I'm like, I still have some time. I knew I needed to get to a gas station, and sure enough, I ran out of gas. But I was at the top of the hill, and there was a gas station not too far down, so I put it in neutral and went, come on, come on, come on, and I just rolled down the hill, and unfortunately, I was about 40 feet shy of the gas station. So I had to go get one of these jugs of gas and go get it, fill it up, go to my car, put it in. I was tempted not to tell my wife. I'm thinking, no, she's gonna enjoy this too much. But I broke down and I told her anyways. And sure enough, she was so happy I ran out of gas. She was just, oh yeah, so happy that I ran out of gas. Here's the thing about gas. You could have a great car, the engine could be tuned up, the spark plugs could be working, the pistons could be tip-top shape, the catalytic converter could be functioning and cleaning up the air of your exhaust system, the body could be clean. The air in your tires could be the right amount, the right pressure. But if you have no gas in that car that looks great and is functioning and is clean and waxed, then that car, even though it has all the right components, that car will not go anywhere because it lacks power. You see, it's the fuel. I'm not smart enough to understand exactly how it works. I studied this in school, but it converts itself into combustion, and that combustion powers up the car to be able to go at accelerated speeds. If there is no combustion that produces that explosion in the pistons in the engine, then your car, even though it looks good, and you may have even sprayed that little scent that says new car spray, you put it in there, it may look good, it may look nice, you may lean up against it, but it will go nowhere. Some believers are exactly like that. Some quote-unquote Christians, they have a Bible and know the Bible verses, and they've memorized the hymns, and they are church-going religious people, but they lack the power of the Holy Spirit. And so although they have all the components they need, they don't go very far in their Christian life because they're lacking the power that gives them the ability to move forward. So Acts chapter 2 is all about that power. And it's all about the power of the Holy Spirit. So let me just catch you up a little bit on this. So last week we saw that Jesus Christ was crucified. And on the third day, he rose again. For 40 days, he took time and he spoke to his disciples and he talked to them about the message of the kingdom of God. And then on the 40th day, after having contact with 500 people at least who saw him, walked with him, touched him, ate with him, then before their very own eyes, he ascended up into heaven and they watched him go. Before he went, though, he gave them a commission. We refer to it as the Great Commission. It's found in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Jesus said to his disciples that had gathered around, in essence, the mission is not completed. I want you to go and make disciples, followers of Jesus, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all these things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you even unto the end of the earth. But he also told them, before you go, I want you to wait. Because you have the message, you have the mission, but you lack the power. I want you to wait in Jerusalem until you are baptized with power. And so we pick up this story in Acts, the second chapter, as we learn the importance and the power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, that's where I'm starting to read. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, speaking of the disciples, 120. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit today, and I want you to understand what the Holy Spirit does in the life of a believer. By the end of this message, some of you are going to realize I need greater power of the Holy Spirit because I'm not walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to give you an invitation at the end of this message to come and pray that you would be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So if God starts to tug at you and speak at you, I want you to be ready to respond to his tugging and speaking on your life. So, number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. The Holy Spirit comes to empower his people to be witnesses. I'm going to unpackage this passage for you a minute. So I'm going to put on my teacher hat here and try to break down scripture for you. By the way, can I tell you what a privilege it is to teach the Word of God on a regular basis to you? And I do not take lightly the privilege that I have to unpackage the Bible and its content to people. And I spend time studying. I have a challenge. I have a challenge every week. And when I come and speak before you, I understand that this is the Word of God. And it has power. And I want to handle it accurately. So I do study. I break it down. I study commentaries. I pray over it. I wrestle with the balance because, yeah, I'm theologically trained and actually have a doctorate in theology. So I could use big words and talk about theological terms that most of you don't care about. And so I deliberately try to avoid terminology that I feel just clutters the issue and confuses the situation. So my goal is to take sometimes complex issues of the Word of God and break it down in a way that just the person that's not a theologian understands it. Is that okay with you? Sometimes I have friends that are computer techies and you know, I go to the Apple store and the genius. I was in there yesterday with my wife. And a guy says, "Hi, I'm one of the geniuses." I said, "Does your card say that?" He said, "Yeah, I have a card that says I'm a genius." I said, "Man, that must be cool." I say, "I'm a legitimate genius." But when they start talking computer lingo. My wife's there. I said, "Slow down. Break it down to like normal language. I know you know all the technology, but we're like really simple here." And I feel like with the Word of God, sometimes it's like that. How many of you know you can take Jesus said that you have to become like a child to enter the kingdom of heaven. And so the faith is as simple that a child can understand, but so complex that the wisest people of the world cannot grasp the understanding, the full implications of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is one of those topics that's difficult to understand, but yet so powerful in our lives.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Spiritual Empowerment, which is from Pastor Mark's brand new series called AD, The Book of Acts. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of our message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the Book of Acts, Chapter 2. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Spiritual Empowerment.
The Bible tells us, it tells us in verse 1, that on the day of Pentecost. Now, Pentecost, this happened in Jerusalem. I've been to Old Jerusalem. My son just came back from living 2.5 months in Jerusalem, which was a phenomenal experience for him, studying scripture in Jerusalem. Think about that. He was 10 minutes away from the old wall of Jerusalem, the Wailing Wall, and all these places that Jesus has and his disciples walked. But it tells us that on the day of Pentecost, which was a Jewish feast held 50 days after the Passover. So do you remember that Jesus on the Passover gathered in the upper room with his disciples? Do you remember that story? And Judas was there and he indicated that he was going to betray him. Well, this was 50 days after the Last Supper. Okay, so you get an idea of when it was. 50 days after Jesus had died, risen, and ascended into heaven. The disciples had gathered together. They had listened to Jesus for 40 days, and now they were in the upper room. The day of Pentecost was a Jewish feast in which Jewish people from all over the world would come to Jerusalem to offer the first fruits of their wheat harvest to God. And they would bring it to the temple. So if you were a Jewish person that embraced Judaism and you lived in another country, you would travel from that other country all the way to Jerusalem because it was one of those big, huge festivals that everybody that lived wherever in the world would come back to Jerusalem. It was required of Jewish people to do this. And so Jerusalem, that normally probably had a population of maybe 70 to 100,000 people would swell well beyond that because visitors would come from all over the world. The motels were filled. The hostels were filled. People would pull out their cots so the guests could sleep on them. So Jerusalem was packed like the week before Christmas is in Chicago on the Magnificent Mile. People come from all over to celebrate. On that day of Pentecost, the Bible says that the disciples were all together. Now, there was 120 disciples, including the 12 disciples. They had gathered together in an upper room. More than likely, it was not a regular house because most houses could not accommodate 120 people, but it was a building in which 120 had gathered in an upper room to pray and to wait for the promise that Jesus had said, wait until you receive power from on high. Verse 2 says, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And suddenly God shows up. And suddenly history changes. And suddenly that which was is no more. And suddenly that which was empty is now filled. And suddenly power descends. I love that word suddenly. Do you realize that your life can be changed suddenly? Sometimes for the good, sometimes for the bad. And suddenly, you get a revelation of Jesus and you didn't understand him until now, but you realize, I need him. And suddenly, the truth glaringly stares you at the face. And suddenly, you receive an answer to prayer that you've been praying for years and years. And suddenly, it comes your way. And suddenly, God is the God of the suddenly. God is the God that can turn your world around in seconds. Suddenly happens. Manifestation, revelation of God, suddenly. I love that about God. Sometimes there's a long build up to it, but then suddenly something miraculous happens. They'd been waiting, I don't know for how long, and this prayer meeting maybe got very long. Have you ever been in a prayer meeting where you got distracted by something? Because there are 120 praying and gathering together, and then suddenly they hear what is the sound of a violent wind. I mean, last week we had a storm here in Chicago, and it blew. I have a swing set in the backyard, blew my swing set down, and blew a chair over. I mean, there were some pretty powerful winds, not as powerful as they had a little further over. A tornado devastated a whole area, but a storm can come on you quickly. And it created a noise that people were like, I'm sure they were praying, and suddenly they hear a violent wind. They're saying, yes, Jesus, Lord, what's going on? I've been in prayer meetings trying to concentrate in prayer, and I hear some noise. Not sure what it is. I'm trying to pray, but you kind of open one eye and like look around like, what is going on here? Years ago when we first started the church, we were having a prayer meeting in the basement of 44th and Palina. Maybe 50 of us were there. And I was leading worship and it sounded really bad. I was all they had. And I was leading worship on my guitar and I heard noise in the back of the auditorium and I thought someone fell off their chair. So I reminded everybody, let's just stay focused on God. Let's not worry about the noises. But I'm trying to see what's going on, like what happened back there. And then someone tugs on me and says, hey, it's your wife, Pastor. And she had fallen through a hole in the floor in the back, up to her knee there. And she was panicking, not because her leg was in the floor, but because she thought there may be mice in the underground there. We had someone visiting. Denise Cahew, I saw you. Are you in the house, Denise? Where are you? I saw her. There. Denise told me later, that was her first Wednesday there, and she said she thought we had set it up and that I was going to go to the back and lay hands on her and heal her, and but instead we had to call the ambulance, so it didn't work out the same way. But they're in the middle of the prayer meeting, 120 gathered together, and suddenly they hear a wind, a mighty wind, a distracting wind. And not only did they hear it inside of that place, people on the outside heard it as well. The streets are crowded and people stop and they say, "What is that mighty wind?" Children pause. People look around. Is there a tornado? Is there a hurricane? What is that wind? And people start gathering towards the house where they've heard that wind, that powerful wind descending from heaven. And then the Bible says, and they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of the 120 that were gathered in that upper room in that prayer meeting. Tongues of fire. Now, this was a prediction that had been made hundreds of years ago by Joel the prophet. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28, you will find the prophecy. But also a prediction that was given by Jesus' second cousin, John the Baptizer. Because in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John the Baptizer said, "I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I." Referring to whom? Jesus, his second cousin, "whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Here they all gathered in the upper room. They're praying. There's a mighty wind. And suddenly, tongues of fire, fire falls on the head of each of the people that are gathered in this upper room. A unique, unusual experience in history. And as this fire falls upon each of them that are gathered together, and by the way, the Holy Spirit is equated both in the Old Testament and New Testament, the Hebrew and the Greek. The words used to describe the Holy Spirit is pneuma, which means breath. The study of the Holy Spirit is called pneumatology, but the root word is pneuma, which is the same word that's used of breath. And so the wind is connected to the Holy Spirit, and fire is also connected to the Holy Spirit, because the wind blows you to wherever the wind wants to blow you. You don't know where it's coming from and you don't know where it's going, and sometimes the Holy Spirit is that way. Fire has to do with purification. It's a refiner's fire. So the wind and the fire symbolize the Holy Spirit. And it came upon 120 that were gathered together up in the upper room. The wind and the fire. John the Baptizer said, "You will be baptized." Baptized means to be submersed, to being saturated with. You will be baptized, submersed and saturated with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, I need to pause here and explain what the Holy Spirit is. Because some people look at the Holy Spirit and they believe the Holy Spirit is a force, an energy, a power, a wind, and he can manifest himself in all those ways. But the Holy Spirit is not a thing. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's the third person of the Godhead: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He operates in perfect unison with the Father and with the Son. He has always been and will always be. God has existed three in one. Before there was ever time, there was God, and he was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are one in essence, one in nature, but distinct as individuals. They operate in perfect unison. They have the same mind, the same will, the same desire, the same flow, but different functions.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called AD, the Book of Acts. And tonight was the first half of his message called Spiritual Empowerment. Join us again tomorrow for the second half. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other helpful tools to help you in your walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book called Unstuck is also available for just $10 plus shipping. If you're looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful night, and we look forward to having you tomorrow. God bless.